ABC Radio Australia.
While dog shelters were left empty and people in Australia had to wait months for a dog due to the surge in demand during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Tongan island of Tongatapu was having the opposite problem. The closure of international borders meant foreign vets couldn't run their quarterly de-sexing programs, and without a qualified vet in the country, it's meant that there are now 20,000 dogs on Tongatapu alone. And the number of dogs is expected to be much larger across the rest of Tonga. The Vice President of the Tongan Animal Welfare Society, Angela Glover, told reporter Talia Olatia that the need for veterinary care has never been more urgent.
The last count is over 20,000 dogs on Tongatapu Island alone, and because a lot of the residents here don't have fences or gates, a lot of those dogs roam. So they're not necessarily stray dogs. They may have family homes they come from, but they roam the streets and they hang out in packs. And when there's pack behaviour, obviously there can be a lot of aggression. Some of the dogs are hungry and they're sick, and that will make them more aggressive. It's hard because a lot of people do care about their animals, but they don't have the ability to either keep it in their land and safe, or from mating with other dogs and then the breeding problems escalating. There's a lot of dogs around the streets. And then if you go out to the outer villages where there's less money, I suppose, that you're seeing dogs in even poorer condition.
Obviously, when dogs all hang out together and it's, you know, they're feeling their sexy times, they're obviously going to be making more babies and more puppies, especially if they haven't been de-sexed. What are the implications of not having a vet there who is able to de-sex these animals?
So I don't know if you're familiar with the South Pacific Animal Welfare, who are also known as SPOR, but they have been for the last 9 years coming out here to this island in particular, about 3 or 4 clinics a year, their 1 week clinic, and then they do a couple of other clinics on the other islands. And they come out and that 1 week clinic sees a lot of de-sexing going on. Their last clinic was December 2019, and they actually bring out university students with them there. So it's quite a large team. And they actually performed 410 de-sexings in 5 days. And that's an incredible amount of dogs to start limiting the reproduction. And also this last year, 2020, they were working with the International Dogs Trust to come out here and do a mass de-sexing project, which we were going to be very involved with helping. And they were going to go to an area of the island and de-sex over 3 1-week clinics, de-sex up to about 1,000 dogs. And that would start managing the dog population in that area. And with the success of that, they were then going to be repeating it over 5 years and doing every area on the island. So that's obviously been put to one side as well because of the pandemic. So, yeah, the dog population is exploding. So there are vets, really. SPOR are vets who come over and then they mentor the young team who are here who want to learn about animal care. But unfortunately, there isn't anyone qualified enough here to do it, operations or procedures. So it's very difficult. They haven't been able to come out, obviously, for over a year now. So the implications of that are that no dogs are being de-sexed. You know, when a bitch has a litter of sort of 9 or 10 puppies and they all survive, and that's one female dog in one family, it's obvious how quickly this problem escalates. So we are seeing lots and lots and lots of litters of newborn puppies at the moment. People can't cope with them. A lot do die because if they're not being very well looked after or fed, or they're so young themselves to be breeding, they don't know how to look after their own puppies. So we also see a lot of puppies dying. A lot of people, very sadly, because they can't cope, will dump the puppies or even, you know, end their lives for them, which is very, very upsetting for us. And then there's sickness and illness that spreads around as well. And unfortunately, out here, when the vets come, they bring a lot of medicines with them, and they do parvovirus injections, which prevents a lot of the pups spreading that very spreadable disease. We've seen so many puppies recently dying from that. We get calls all the time from people: my puppy's sick, he's suddenly within hours changed, and he's sick, and his diarrhea, lost his energy. And because it's so highly contagious, if a family here has 10 puppies and they give someone else in their family a couple of those puppies and they've got the virus and that family lives on the other side of the island, it's just spreading out of control. And unfortunately, it can stay live for 1 to 5 years, I believe. So contamination's really high. So we're just doing what we can without the vets to try and keep animals healthy and to educate people on how to feed them well, keep them watered, try and keep them in if they're on heat. But yeah, the implications are big, and that's not just with the dogs, that's with all the animals out here. There's a big farming community and there's cattle and livestock, and there is a livestock division here, but again, without supplies in a clinic and without anyone who's a fully qualified vet, it's very limited as to what people can do. So if we've got really badly injured animals and there's no supplies at the clinic that is here, and when I say no supplies, I mean no supplies, like no sutures, no cannulas, no anesthetics, no sedatives, then there's not a lot that can be done.
Why isn't there a qualified vet there?
It's a very different community here, and like a lot of livestock are a necessity for the farmers. The dogs are something that everyone has as kind of security, but they're just there. I mean, there's a lot of people who love and care for their dogs here, don't get me wrong, but a lot, they're just there, and they come and they go, and you know, and then they're not part of the family like overseas. They don't come in the house and lie on the sofa and get baths all the time and stuff. So the vet has never really been seen as an essential necessity here. And there's so many competing priorities for the government, particularly at the moment, trying to keep the country COVID free. So it's still not seen as an absolute essential. There's no veterinary scholarship or training for public servants here. So we want to try and work with the government to increase the awareness of the need for a permanent vet in Tonga, and that it some way needs to be supported by a national budget. And I think with the change in attitudes that I've seen since I've lived here in 4 years, and in particular the last couple of years where we've been promoting animal welfare so much, they won't be able to ignore the fact that the people are wanting it as well and people need it. But the flip side of that is anyone who wants to train from Tonga has to go and study for 5 or 7 years to become qualified. So in the meantime, there's this big gap that we need to fill. So we need volunteer vets to come through like the VSA or AVI in Australia, or contract vets. And we somehow do 6 months or a year and get some sort of contract set up.
You have put a call out on your Facebook page because, mm-hmm. like you said, you've got no supplies. Tell me about the things that you are seeking and asking for assistance for.
Well, the easiest way to actually help would be to make donations into our account, which is which I did post on our Facebook page and is also on our website, which is tourstonga.org. That way we can make orders and then get them shipped over. The main things that we're finding we really need is flea, tick and worming pills, and then puppy and kitten milk formulas for any kittens and puppies that have been dumped and or separated from their mothers and are being hand-reared. Those medicines themselves help immensely. Like we had a little puppy just in November that we found walking on the side of the road who was just mangy, skinny, malnourished, and we'd seen it quite often. And we realised it came from a home, so we stopped at the home and said, look, can we help? We're here to help. They're a lovely family who really care about their animals but had no idea there was someone here to help. Basically, with a course of flea and tick pills, worming, and then helping them with the food donations, this puppy is like a different dog now. It's got a round belly, shiny fur. It's amazing. So those basic medicines really, really help us. And then we wouldn't be able to order in like full-on veterinary supplies because obviously there's no vet here to administer them. So it's the basics really that we need.
That was the Vice President of the Tongan Animal Welfare Society, Angela Glover, speaking there to Talia Olatia. And for more information about their plea for supplies, you can visit the Tongan Animal Welfare Society Facebook page.